Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
So, here's another one for you, Carver High. You know, Illinois lost to Texas San Antonio in Champaign, 37-30. Now they're playing Virginia in Charlottesville this week, and the number's 10. If they lose by 7 to Texas San Antonio at home, what do you think is going to happen to them against Virginia on the road? I mean, I bet they don't cover it at 10.
Yeah, they're not winning the game. Up and down start for Illinois, of course, beating Nebraska the first week, the week zero game, and then losing at home to UTSA. And this is an early kick, too. This is like 11 a.m. East Coast kick in Charlottesville. I love the Cavaliers. I think that that's a... I know the number seems a little big for Virginia. They're not a great team. But I think you might be able to lay with the Cavs here on Saturday.
I hit Maryland over West Virginia. They upset the Mountaineers in College Park.
Maryland's not bad.
What's that?
Tua's brother's good, man. The kid playing quarterback for Maryland, Tagovailoa. Very good.
I hit Marshall laying 2.5. It was my number three play. They destroyed Navy 49-7. Cincinnati I hit. Let's see. They were laying 22.5. That was my number one play on PharrellOnTheBench.com. They destroyed Miami of Ohio 49-14. I think they're really good. I think that Notre Dame-Cincinnati game is going to be fantastic. I'm talking about, I think they can upset them, and I definitely think they cover in that game because you know they're going to be getting something. And Bama, I hit laying 19, 44-13 over Miami. How about Lafayette covered for me against Air Force getting 40 and a hook? I missed on that Rice game. I was getting 20, and they lost by a point, Arkansas, with the spread. It was 38-17. Oregon over Fresno, 31-24. Nebraska beat up on Fordham. You knew that was coming. I don't know what that final number was. Oh, it was 43.5. So they covered. Can you believe that? I laid 43.5 with Nebraska against Fordham. That's how bad Fordham is. Kansas State, I hit against Stanford 24-7. They beat their ass. That was at Jerry's World, I think. And then Rutgers, I hit, laying 14. They destroyed Temple 16-14.
Laid the hammer. That's another game I love this week. I love Rutgers against Syracuse. Syracuse came through for me, too. Syracuse with the big win at Ohio.
You think Rutgers goes to Syracuse and beats them?
Yes, I do. I'm on the Scarlet Knights this week.
How about them putting 61 up?
Yeah.
Never thought I'd see that day. I had a BC. How about that? I laid 44.5. They won 51-0 over Colgate. I laid 44.5 and I could cover. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, SportsMap, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell and Amanch. I hit Penn State with the spread, and then Oklahoma beat Tulane by 5. What's the deal with Oklahoma and messing around with Tulane? I mean, honestly.
It feels like they always do this early in the year. Remember a couple years ago, Army at home took them to overtime. They lost early in the year last year to Kansas State. For some reason, early in the season, Oklahoma is asleep at the wheel.
Then they'll go to Manhattan, Kansas on October 2nd and lose to them again?
They've lost to them the last 2 years. Kansas State going for 3 in a row against Oklahoma. God, I mean, if you can't get up for that game, if Lincoln Riley can't get the crew up for that game after losing the last 2 years to them, when are you ever going to beat them?
Maybe never.
Here's what I want to know. How big of a number are they going to lay on Nebraska? Is that this week or next week? I think that's next week, right? Or is that game this week?
Let me tell you when it is. Is it really that early in the season?
Yes.
It is. It's next week. Next Saturday at Norman. Or where do they play that game?
No, they're playing the game in Norman. The game's in Norman.
Games in Norman, because they play Texas in the Cotton
Yes,
Bowl.
Correct. So now this is the game that Nebraska wanted to back out of. Scott Frost didn't want to play this game.
Because they're going to lose.
They're going to get whacked.
I mean, after that performance against Tulane, with all the hype they got as number two, with that performance, you can't tell me they're the number two team in the country.
They're not.
I know Georgia's number two now, right? But they were number two going into it. Now what are
they're
they?
They're number four now. They're number four in my book right now. Because Ohio State's better than them, too.
Yeah, Ohio State is better than them. So that pretty much sums up what happened with regards to last week in college football. Now we got to get into some of these other big games that are happening this week. It never ends. Pharrell and Amanch. You got to admit, you're right, that it's just, I'm watching the A's and the White Sox, and I mean, if I were driving a car right now, I'd be in a ditch.
Like, it's hard because we just came off of 5 straight days of college football games. Like, Thursday, huge games. Friday night, bunch of games. Full slate Saturday. You had the Notre Dame game Sunday night. Yeah, the game sucked, but you had the Ole Miss Louisville game last night. We just had 5 straight days, and now there's no football tonight, and it's just baseball on. And it's like you said, it's just... Jeez, like, I'm not excited to watch this at all. Like, just get me to Thursday again, and you know, for the Cowboys and the Bucks, and then Friday night, Coastal Carolina and Kansas. I mean, let's go here. Let's just get to these games.
Didn't they used to have, like, it's amazing to me, didn't they used to have, like, late-night tennis on? I mean, the U.S. Open.
Yeah, there should be a late match. It depends on if, sometimes a lot of that depends on if somebody gets smoked or not. You know, it only goes late if some of the matches go longer. But there should be a later game, you know, a 9:30, 10 o'clock starting match tonight.
Well, there's not. It's over.
I'll tell you now. Really? Finished?
I mean, it's not on TV. I mean, so it was, you know, ESPN had it. I saw it on earlier, and they showed some guy walking into the locker room. But...
all finals. You know what else the problem is? There's less matches now because you're getting into the quarters and the semis. There's less inventory.
I haven't watched 5 minutes of that until today when I saw that 19-year-old chick win the tiebreaker in the third set over the number 5 seed, and she advanced. So she beat Osaka, and then she beat Kerber, right?
Yeah.
And then she beat the number 5 seed today. It's the first time it's happened since Serena Williams did it when she was young, beating 2 top 5 seeds. And so the 5 tonight and the number 1 seed she already beat. And then, what? I mean, let's face facts. I don't care about it. I still want to talk college football, but I'll say this. I just think it's amazing that that chick, I mean, in essence, she got Osaka to basically say she's going to quit playing tennis. She quit.
Yeah, pretty much.
She got beat, and then she said she's quitting. She said, I don't want to play tennis anymore. Well, you know what I say? Bye. See ya. I'm sure they'll find someone to fill the hole and play. I'm sure there's somebody out there that wants to make money.
Right.
Because if you honestly, the whole bit about her mental health, I just can't take it anymore. Because it's pretty obvious to me. You can say whatever you want about me and blame me. Blame me for her problems. Go ahead. Like, just have at it. Blame me for her problems. Here's the deal. She's only miserable when she loses.
Yep.
Is that about right?
Seems that way.
She's fine when she's winning. But when she's losing, she don't want to do interviews. She don't want to talk about it. She's not happy. She starts crying. Like, the whole deal. I mean, you've seen all that, right? Like, I mean, we've all seen it. So let's not act like we haven't seen it. When she loses, she goes through this whole act, the whole drama, the crying, everything else, weeping, can't do the interviews, can't do anything. It's pretty obvious to me. Like, am I, like, crazy? Because I played tennis my whole life, and losing sucks in any sport. But I got to be honest with you, Carver. I don't ever remember anybody crying. You know what I mean? Like, when they lose. Like, it really tore her up. And I'm not making fun of her. I just think that, I mean, how can you be the number one player in the world and you can't do interviews? You just can't handle the press. And then but you can handle those big paychecks, right? Like, every week. And the yep. big slam money that she makes millions on, she's happy those days. But the weird thing is about her, I'll say this. It goes back to the Serena Williams at the U.S. Open, remember? When she beat her? And they all booed her. And they were mad that Serena got shafted by the umpire, right? And so they booed that she won. And that girl never recovered from that. I think that's what broke her. Is that U.S. Open, whatever, last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
When she lost. And she's never been the same since. But that girl, this girl, Fernandez, whatever her name is, she beat her, and now she said she was quitting. She said, I don't want to play tennis anymore. I'm done. Okay, then. See ya.
She'll be back. You know why?
She'll be back, but you
the
know
checks
what?
Are
I don't
big.
Care.
The
I,
checks are big.
Are you serious that I'm like, I care if she quits?
No, I don't. I definitely don't. And if that's what she needs to do, then go ahead and do it.
Then do it. I don't care if any pro athlete quits or does whatever they want. Have at it. And I know everyone's on her side. Everyone's just trying to be there for all these other athletes from other sports.
Yes.
Doesn't that get ridiculous to you?
Well, it gets ridiculous, but you got to understand the reason why it's happening is because they're being like, everybody needs a comment from them about it. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? So they've got to then make, you know, show their support or else they're bad people.
What does Tom Brady have to do with Osaka?
Nothing.
Nothing. But we got to listen to him give her advice. Like, I can't even take it. Like, I'm just like, whatever. I can't deal with it. Like, I'm better off just saying, okay, if you don't want to play anymore and you can't handle it and you're having all kinds of mental issues, fair enough, then quit. Then just do something else. You've already made tons of money. She never has to work another day in her life. Maybe she could go train and coach kids, you know? Maybe that'd make her happy. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, teaching kids.
Yeah.
She's a great player. Yeah. She's a great player. Why not run an academy and just, you know what? What pressure do you have if you're running an academy for kids? Like, Nadal runs an academy, but he's got all these people running it for him, right? But when he's not playing, he's there. And in Spain and in Morocco, whatever it is that they call it. Anyway, I think he's genuinely happy when he's doing that. He likes, you know, helping kids. And maybe that would excite her. You know what I mean? You never know.
No, that's it. Speaking of quitting, the reason why you don't have a tennis match on right now is because the last match of the night, which was the men's quarterfinal match, the Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz had to retire with an injury in the second set. So
he
had
to go. That was the guy I saw them walk into the locker room.
Right. So that was supposed to be the last match of the night, the late night match, and he had to retire in the second set due to the injury. So the Canadian, Felix Auger Alisami, who I watched the other night play Tiafo, the American, in a long match, he moves on to the semis, it looks like. No way I said his name correctly. Just 0% chance
I said that. So who's in the semis?
Well, this Felix kid from Canada is in the semis. Who else won today? Medvedev. He's on his way to the semis. Yes, and I believe
he's the number two seed.
And I guess Joker is also in the semis too, against Berrettini.
Does it not amaze you in some capacity or another? Like that he's just always in every final.
He's a machine. He's impossible.
Always him winning.
He's impossible to root for, but he's there every single time. I mean, he's not Federer or Nadal. He doesn't have that, you know, that thing that people gravitate to, that they want to root for them. He does not have that, or the Sampras or an Agassi or any of these guys from the past, you know, 20, 25 years. Joker's probably
like him.
Joker's probably straight up better than all of them, but people don't like him because he's a D. And that's it.
That's right. He does it.
And he don't care. And he don't care either.
He's a D. And he's a brat. And he, you know, slams rackets and stuff. And no one likes him. So he's the greatest player ever that sucks. Pharrell on the bench. So before I get into pro football that starts Thursday night, I want to get into these last few games that we haven't talked about for this week, at least to scratch the surface on them. So Notre Dame and Toledo, Notre Dame's laying 16.5. Are you surprised how short it is?
A little bit. I think it originally, when I saw a look ahead line like a couple weeks ago, it was like 20 or 21. It's down to 16. Toledo's probably one of the better teams in that conference. I think they were picked by a couple people to win the MAC this year. So they're going to have a little bit of a challenge here. Home opener. Make sure you watch. You can only watch the game on Peacock. Remember that. No, they're not. They don't have the game on TV. You got to watch it on Peacock, which is just about as annoying as it gets.
All right, so
on Saturday.
So now they're no longer on NBC. They're on Peacock game now?
No. This is the only game that is exclusively Peacock. Every other game will be on Channel 4 or NBC, wherever you are, NBC.
I am not signing up for that. Okay, so I've already got ESPN Plus. I got HBO Max. I got Disney
Me too.
Plus.
Me too.
You know, whatever. I got Apple TV Plus. I got Hulu. I got Netflix. I got Prime. I mean, I'm gonna go broke.
I have the Peacock. It's you know, but like you said, I got so many of these things. It's ridiculous at this point. It just really is.
I mean, honestly, it is so unbelievable. Like, you know, strangely enough. Like, let's say you pay for cable, right? And then you have all this other stuff. The bill's outrageous. Now, I have, you know, like Hulu, they have all these games on there. You knew that, right?
Yeah.
They got everything on there, man. Hockey.
Well, look, football, it's at the point.
Basketball, they got it all.
It's at the point now where you gotta really do one or the other. Like, if you want to get involved with the apps, you just got to get rid of the cable. I mean, that's, and just go with the app. That's it.
God. I refuse to sign up for Peacock. I've had enough. I can't do another one. I'm gonna have a stroke. I really am. Oregon and Ohio State, you do not play like they did against Fresno, and you're telling me they're going to go to Columbus and beat Ohio State?
I think this is going to be this game. You're going to be able to turn this one off at halftime. That's how bad I think this game is going to be. I think Oregon's an ultimate paper tiger. I don't think that they're very good at all. I think we've already seen Ohio State in the second half against Minnesota show that they are just explosive play after explosive play. I think they win this game by 20 plus. They completely rough them up.
So after you saw Kirby Smart talk about how great UAB is, do you think they're going to lay down and not cover that 24 and a hook?
No, I don't.
Like they're not going to do it.
He's setting you up early in the week for, you know, the 17 point win over UAB at the, in between the hedges on Saturday, huh?
Right?
He's setting you up already. That's a good team over there. They're Conference USA champions.
I think just a couple more. UNLV and Arizona State, that number's 33 in Tempe. UNLV lost to Eastern Washington. I picked Eastern Washington outright, as you know, and they were getting 2.5. They won the game in double overtime. Do the Sun Devils cover 33 against UNLV?
Yeah, I won't be getting involved in this game because the Sun Devils really screwed me last Thursday. Like, I put a lot of faith in that 45 they were laying against Southern Utah, and they just completely did not try, like, the entire game. Like, they scored, like, 42 points, whatever it was. They gave
41-14.
They did not even try. And I'm worried they won't try. No need to try against UNLV either. But UNLV is so bad.
Miami's playing Appalachian State down in Hard Rock. They're laying only 9. Do you think they handle their business? You know, if they can't beat Appalachian State, now I know everybody goes back to the Appalachian State against Michigan game.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Every year, that's all we ever hear about. But Miami should be able to whack them.
Now, look, I think Appalachian State is a good team. Had them last week against East Carolina, who we were talking about before. And I see already it's only Tuesday, and I see everybody making that their trendy pick this week because Miami got whacked by Alabama. And I think that I think we're going to get a break on this line. I'd get it before it gets, while it's still under 10, because I got a feeling that on Saturday morning, that thing shoots up to 11 or 12. I think Miami gets a little bit of, you know, get right after getting whacked by Alabama. I think they beat up App State, beat them up.
Well, there you go. That's about everything. The other games are so bad, I won't even mention them. One last one, Virginia Tech, after what they did to North Carolina, they're laying 20 to Middle Tennessee. You know, Middle Tennessee has not been the worst football team in the world over the last few years. They won their opener 50-15 over Monmouth from New Jersey. They're getting no respect whatsoever in Blacksburg, like they're going to get killed. Does Virginia Tech come off of that North Carolina win and think, well, this is just a walk in the park, and they don't cover the 20?
I think they cover the 20. I'm going in with Virginia Tech this week. I'm a believer after what they did to North Carolina. I know that the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State got a little spunk to them, but I'm going to take the Va-Tech Hokies here.
All right, so let's talk about Pain Day. Take me to Raymond James on Thursday night here ahead of schedule. It's Tuesday night. And what do you think happens between the Cowboys and the Bucks, the defending Super Bowl champs? Now, today we talked a lot about, Joe Pisapia was on with us. He basically, did he not sound like he thought they're going back to the Super Bowl?
That's what he sounded like, yeah. He sounded like he thought that the NFC is very weak, and who's there to challenge him? And when you take a step back a little bit and you think about it, you know, maybe, yeah, you know, these other teams have question marks. They have warts. And it seems like the Bucks don't have any. Like, seriously, the Packers, they get there every year. They could beat the Bucks last year. I'm buying in on the Rams, but I don't know if they'd beat the Bucks at a big spot. I'm down on the Niners. I don't think the Niners are going to be as good as everybody else thinks. And we know the teams in the East aren't that good. Who's beating the Bucks this year? Now, somebody's going to. You're right. It's very hard to get back to that point. It is hard to get all the way back and win it again. Ask the Chiefs last year.
Right.
But I think they'll at least get to the NFC title game.
Well, everyone has it, a repeat Super Bowl. I mean, I've heard everybody say it's Kansas City and Tampa again. And I just told you today, I don't believe that. No. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it at all.
And I'm not in on that.
I don't believe it. Not 1 minute of it am I listening to. Anything can happen. Injuries will automatically happen. That's inevitable. The question is, in January, who on the Buccaneers is injured?
Right.
Who's injured? Not will they have injuries. Who will be injured and how many of them? And then you can start making assumptions of what they're going to do in big games, because it all boils down to that. Look, they were an average football team last year until the playoffs, right? They really were.
And no doubt.
And then they turned it on in the playoffs, and they got through those games, and they made it, and then they kicked the Chiefs' ass. I think they were a hot football team at the exact perfect time, and that's why they won the Super Bowl. I never thought for 1 minute last year that they were the best team in the NFC at all. The entire season, no way can you tell me that.
No, and you look throughout the season, they had some bad losses during the regular season, whether it was that Thursday night game in Chicago. They had Kansas City came to them in, what was that, late November, and absolutely whacked them in that one game. So you're right. They got themselves together after the bye. They got healthy, and they got hot. When you got to look and see who's healthy in late December. When you get to late December, who's still got bodies on the field? Productive, healthy bodies.
It's actually January.
But this late December is when you can start to get a gauge. All right, this team isn't missing anybody. This team's got, that's when you teams they start to build some steam heading into January if they're healthy. And that matters. And the Bucs kind of did that last year.
Do you think that it's going to be wild on Sunday? Like, so Thursday night, let's just throw that out there. Do you think that Dallas can cover the 7.5? It's moved to 8 in some houses.
Yeah. Yep.
It's 8 now. It is 8 right now. Do you think Dallas covers 8? And then do you think Sunday, the first Sunday of the NFL, because I don't think it's predictable at all. I think it's going to be crazy. Like it always is. I feel like every game will be crazy. I don't even think, maybe one game's ugly. I'll bet one game might be all, blowout. And then the rest of them are insane. Like, you name it. Yeah. I won't be surprised at all. There's a couple overtime games. And I bet all the games are close and crazy. They're just going to be unpredictable and crazy, just like the NFL wants it.
The first week of the season is always impossible to bet because you get some teams that everybody thinks are going to suck. They show up and give you a big performance on week one. Now, they might end up being as awful as you expected as the season goes on, but for whatever reason, they give you a big performance in week one. It's complete overreaction city after that first game. And sometimes you get crazy games in week one from teams that you don't expect it.
All right, we'll look at these games on Sunday because I think it's going to be radical. It's Pharrell on the Bench. Pharrell on a bench with you, and I'm lining up something I got to do tomorrow, Carver High, with a buddy of mine in Detroit, Detroit Rock City.
They want me that right?
They want me to come on and talk about the Lions tomorrow, right before
it's funny.
TV show.
I like the Lions this week.
I know you do. For no reason whatsoever, I'm assuming.
Here's my entire thinking of it. It kind of goes to what we were just discussing before the break. Weird stuff happens in the first week. And that just, like, I know the Lions are going to suck this year. They're not going to be a good team. They're going to probably go 3-14 or whatever it is. And they might not even win on Sunday. But over a touchdown, at home, Campbell's first game as the coach, I feel like his crazy motivational nonsense and them, nobody having any tape, as Goff being out there with him yet, I just feel like they'll be in the game with the Niners and over a touchdown at home. I think I'm going to take my shot with it.
In Campbell's first game, they get lucky and they hang with him.
A little juice with Campbell. He'll probably give him some crazy speech in the locker room before the game. Nobody believes in us, you know. That don't work all year. He might get away with it in week one. He won't be able to be sitting there when they're 2-7 in week 10. He's not going to be able to say it then. But he could say it in week one when they're still 0-0.
So you just think they cover?
Yeah, I think they cover the 7.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they can cover the number. Look, I think the Lions are a better football team, or the Niners are better flat out. No question.
They are. They are. But
I don't
is the
know
Niner,
why
the Niner
don't
offense
buy
that
them
good
at all for the season? You're saying you just aren't buying the Niners.
I'm not. I don't think the offense is as good as people act like they've got some great offense. I don't think they do. I don't think they got some great offense.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I like Kittle. That's about it. I mean, I'm not falling over about him or anything. Let's talk about games that matter, though. That's like, to me, that's like a bad sandwich, that game. the Steelers and Bills, it's 6.5. I know you don't bet on the Bills ever, but now that you're on the grid, you got to.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, you got to say what you would do.
I'm laying it. I'm laying
yeah,
it.
I think so, too.
I'm laying it.
There's
a couple things that do worry me in this game. I don't like that they've beaten the Steelers the last 2 years there in Pittsburgh. Like, it just – Tomlin's too good. Like, I just feel like, he's finally going to get Allen. Like, it just – he's beaten him the last 2 years. I feel like he's going to be prepared for Allen this week.
Well, I think that they could – if this game were at the ketchup bottle, I think that they would cover the 6.5. And yeah, they might very well win. But it's in Buffalo, and I just don't think it's going to go well. I'll say this. I think everyone thinks that the Bills are AFC title game, and then it's some easy street, and it's automatic. And I don't believe that for 1 minute. I think they're going to have to work for it. I think they're going to have to earn it. I think they're going to have to prove it. And I think that they're going up against a very dangerous team. Now, listen. Roethlisberger's got great receivers that make plays, and he's also now got Najee Harris, which they had no running game whatsoever last year.
Nope.
The worst running game in the league. And now they've got a great running back. And this guy, and people say, oh, they don't have a line. Listen, I mean, I got to tell you, there have been great backs that create on their own what, even if their line sucks and they give them anything, like a little teeny crevice, that's all they need if they're that good to make a play, right? To get through a hole or to bust an ankle and make moves and get outside, inside, whatever. Guys make plays. Guys make moves and get through and make things happen. I think the Bills are better than the Steelers, but I actually think that they got their hands full in this game. I think the league put this game on the schedule because they know how good it could be. It could very well be, it might very well be the best game of the day.
Yeah. Big time game. And I'm with you. Maybe it's just because I'm a fan and I definitely don't buy into, I don't like hearing the hype. I don't like watching everybody run around here for the last 2 weeks talking about how the Bills are this great team and the Bills are Super Bowl dark horse and Josh Allen that super MVP. I don't like hearing that stuff. Maybe it's just me and my head isn't wired right because I spent 20 years of them being absolutely awful and I can't really compute that they're actually a really good team. But I hate hearing all this stuff before the season. I hate it. I prefer last year. Last couple of years under the radar. But when you have the kind of year they had last year, you don't stay under the radar anymore. That's for sure.
Who do you think Tua can go to Foxborough and beat the Patriots?
Yes, I actually do. But it's going to be an ugly game. I mean, it's going to be a real ugly game. Like, that game's got 16-13 written all over it.
Yeah, but on the other side of the coin, do you think Mac Jones can do something against Xavien Howard and the Dolphins defense?
That's where I think the ugliness. That's where I think the ugliness of this game comes through. I don't know if Jones is going to be able to do much against a very good Dolphin D, and I don't know if Tua is going to be able to do much against Belichick. That's kind of my way of looking at it right now. It's going to be a very interesting game to see where those two guys are at after week one.
The Eagles and Falcons play at Mercedes in Hot Town. Atlanta's laying 3. Do you think Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith, Ertz, et cetera, can do anything on the road in Atlanta? Look, I don't think I have any faith whatsoever in the Atlanta Falcons. I don't deny Ridley's good. I want to see the kid Pitts play in a pro game like everybody else, but I'm kind of over Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
I am too. And I think the Eagles are going to be awful this year, like absolutely dreadful. I think they're going to have a top 5 pick in the draft. I think they're going to lose a lot of football games this year. But I can't trust the Falcons because they can't be trusted. How can you lay points with the Falcons? They never come through, ever. Like, couldn't you see? This is the type of game. Couldn't you see the Falcons being up like 10 or 14 at halftime and they end up losing the game? Like, it's just, Hurts has some crazy comeback in the fourth quarter. Two wounded birds right here. The Falcons and the Eagles. Two wounded
birds. These
games
are brutal. Vikings and Bengals in the Queen City. Minnesota's laying 3. I have this just weird feeling that Joe Burrow is going to come out and beat them.
I'm real down on the Vikings, too. I know you shouldn't put a lot into preseason, but they looked awful. Like, they just, all the nonsense with the quarterbacks with the COVID, and Jefferson's been kind of banged up throughout camp at receiver. Cook seems to always get hurt every other week, too.
But they're way more talented than Cincy.
They are way more talented than Cincy. But
what does Cincinnati have besides nothing? The kid Chase
really
did nothing in the preseason whatsoever. Burrow never played but 5 minutes. Nobody knows what's going to happen with them. They might get destroyed.
Yeah, they might.
I can't even fathom I would bet on them. I mean, I must be stupid. But I'll tell you the reason I would is because it's going to be like all hands on deck for insanity on Sunday, because I don't think anything's going according to script.
Nope. Never does week one.
Cardinals, Titans, Tennessee laying 3. I'll tell you what, everyone thinks the Titans are a playoff team, and I think they're, you know, loaded as well. Fair enough. But they've had their fair share of problems lately with COVID, and I think that Arizona team's tough. I think Kyler Murray's good, and I know Hopkins is good. We'll see what Green does. Do you think they can go in there and beat him outright?
I think they can, because as much as everybody loves to pump up the Titans, and they have – do you ever hear anybody talk about the Titans' defense? No.
No.
Want to know why? Because it sucks. That's why. There's a reason why I think this is one of the highest totals on the board this week. I think you said it right with Joe today. There's going to be points in this game. Both teams are going to score. Both teams are going to get into maybe even the low 30s in this game. Cardinals can win this game on the road in Tennessee on Sunday.
God, would that be crazy? Seahawks and Colts in Indy. Seattle's laying 2.5. Boy, doesn't that just seem like fishy?
Have they said yet what the deal is with Wentz? Is Wentz playing in this game? Is he not playing in this game? They haven't made any official announcement about that, right?
There's no way they're starting Jacob Eason. No way.
He stinks.
Wentz is playing with a broken foot.
He's so bad. Jacob Eason. You like Russell Wilson on the road here? You like Russell Wilson?
Does it even matter who starts for them?
No.
Because if Russell Wilson is such a badass, and we've heard all about how they've settled all their problems, I'll tell you what, their problems will come right back if they lose this game.
Probably.
Chargers and Washington in D.C., and the Chargers are laying one. I won't be surprised at all. They go to D.C. and lay a massive egg.
I was just going to say the same exact thing to you. I'm on Washington on Sunday. This is a typical Chargers getting pumped up by everybody. We love the Chargers. They never win these games. They never win these games, the Chargers. They're a road favorite. Wash and Fitzpatrick, and you look everywhere Fitzpatrick goes, every team he's gone to, when he first starts playing for them, he gets hot. Always starts hot with every team he's with, and then he crashes. He'll start hot. He'll beat the Chargers on Sunday.
So Astros just walked off on Seattle and beat them 5-4.
Wow.
Jets-Panthers, why do I think this is going to be a crazy game? With Sam Darnold going up against the Jets, and then Zach Wilson going up against Sam Darnold, the guy he replaced. I still have this weird feeling that Carolina will beat them.
Yeah, I'm on Carolina. The thing for me here is Matt Rhule, second year. Sal is in his first. Darnold, the revenge factor against the Jets. I think that there's a couple. And Carolina at home as well. That's kind of – I don't like the five. I think it's hard to lay 5 points with Carolina. But I do think they're going to win the game.
Well, that's the thing. Originally, I was on the Jets with the number, but the more I think
I'll
about
end up
it,
laying it.
The more I think about it, they're the Jets. Jaguars, yep. And Texans. I think you told me you were taking the Jags.
No, I'm on the Texans. No,
I'm on the Texans, too.
Big
I'm
time.
On the Texans, too. But I think it's very dangerous, and I don't even want any part of it. Browns, Chiefs, are you laying the six?
I am laying the six, the Chiefs, no doubt.
And then Packers, Saints, Green Bay's laying 4. I saw it at 4.5. It's 4 now.
I'm on the Packers.
Yeah, I'm on the Packers there as well. It's Pharrell on the bench. Cover high. Who are you taking, Broncos or Giants at MetLife? Denver's laying 3 on the road.
Super fishy line. I'm taking the Broncos on Sunday.
And the Bears-Rams Sunday night. Rams. 7.5.
Rams. Rams big.
Rams big over the Bears, huh? Just going to blow them out?
Andy Dalton stinks. He's going to get eaten alive by Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and the Rams D.
And then Monday night, Baltimore's at the Raiders in Vegas, and they're laying 4.5. Baltimore's laying 4.5.
I got to tell you, I've been thinking about this game. I might be taking the Raiders with the points here. I think that they might have a little juice here on Monday night against Baltimore. Opening Monday night game in Vegas.
I'm there, too.
I think I'm going to take the 4.5.
I am too. White Sox lead the A's 4-1, bottom 7 in the ashtray in Oakland. Rangers lead the D-backs 3-1, end of 7. You know what I need less of in my life? The Texas Rangers and Arizona Diamondbacks and being required to make a bet on their game every day. Honestly, like, I
how awful is that game? Like, what do they got? A combined about 70, 75 wins between the two of them? I mean, they both have an awful seasons. Just embarrassing.
See, your boy Blake Snell is in the 7th inning with a perfect game right now for the Padres.
I don't think it's perfect anymore because they've got a guy on base, but they still say no hitter through 6 2/3. So he must have walked the guy or something.
Well, there you go. It's all very exciting. Giants beat the Rockies 12-3. Astros, they told you, walked off. Brewers kicked the Phillies' ass. Reds big, Braves win, Orioles win, Mets win, Twins win, doesn't matter, Dodgers win, Rays win, Jays beat the Yankees, Pirates beat the Tigers. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.